Good morning, everyone. Let's stand up and let's worship today. Call us out from the depths into your freedom. Our chains are gone. No weapon formed shall prevail. Your word is stronger. We've overcome. Your glory resounds through the age, all saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken, we will not fear. Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Your glory resounds through the age, all saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken, we will not fear. Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. And we declare your name is power, exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, our strong defender. Above you there's no other, above you there's no other. And we declare your name is power, exalted one. Your name is higher. You stand alone, our strong defender. Above you there's no other. 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 Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. right. You guys got to get ready. Got to worship even louder because a 50-year-old's up here today, so.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. As the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn morning to dancing. Give beauty for our shame. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn morning to dancing. You give beauty for our shame. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. You're the only one who cares. Better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn morning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the
And Lord, we thank you that you are the one who is our mighty warrior. We thank you that you turn graves into gardens, that God, this is not just it. Whatever we're going through, whatever part of our life, and we've been talking about the mind, and whatever part of our mind is turning our life into a grave, we know that you're going to bring a garden there. And so God, we give you praise, and we just ask that everything today, that it just be dedicated and set aside to you, and that we just hear what you're speaking to us today so that we can make it through this crazy thing called life. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. Some stuff here real quick, and then we're going to go ahead and move that so I have those just in case. All right, everybody good? Everybody good? It's a little better. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and take a look at some of our prayer requests, and so I just, we're going to lift them up, and hopefully everybody's enjoying. That's going to be like, it's that time of year where we get excited that it's going to be a high of 63, that's where we get really excited about that kind of stuff. But anyway, all right, a couple things here. We're looking here from our prayer concerns. Continue to lift up those that we've been lifting up in prayer over the last several weeks and months. I know Lester's doing really well and had an opportunity to talk to him. Continue to lift up Nancy Culver, Dave Culver's mother. We ask for prayers for them. And others who we have been lifting up in prayers for several weeks. We also want to lift up, Holly has asked for prayers for her friend's health, and she's starting her new full-time job tomorrow. So I know we're very excited. Holly's very excited about that, and we're excited for her in the midst of that. And then also just kind of keep everybody in your prayers. As I know, there's some other people, unspoken things that are just going on this week and have been long coming things. And so we just ask for God to be in the midst of all those situations as well. And then yesterday, and my thanks to everybody who reached out. I am a half a century old now. I know I don't look like it. I know I look a quarter of a century, but I'll take it. According to the Snapchat ad, I'm only 22, and I'll go with that. But either way, and thanks to everyone who reached out. Obviously, it's been a different year for that, but it's been good to know that there's some awesome people that love you in the midst of all things, even when you get old. All right, so, but thank you all for those prayers. And if you have any other prayer requests, I do want to say to anybody who's church online, which we want to welcome you, or anybody here, you can jump on the Haven app at havencc.org. Go ahead, and there's a place for prayer requests. You put those in, they'll go right to Debbie Chadwick, our prayer coordinator. She'll make sure all that information gets out, and she sends them out usually toward the end of the day today that goes out to people for prayer. So please feel free to go ahead and continue to lift others in prayers. And let's pray right now. Okay, God, we just thank you for bringing us through another week and bringing us to this point again today where we can celebrate and worship you. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you for who you are, and that when we look back at the last year and so many other things, that it just seems like, for talking with so many people, that this has been one of those years where people will say, you remember 2020 and 21? Oh my, let's not go back there. And it's because it's just been, there's a lot of things, not only COVID, but a lot of heavy things that a lot of people have been dealing with. And so I just ask that as we're here today, that Lord, you just continue to remind us of your faithfulness and how good you are. And as we are moving further into our series, week two of Mindfield, where we're going to unpack some of the things we briefly touched on last week, that you will continue to guide and direct us further and further in this series, not only as a series, but something to really change and motivate our lives as we really deal with this mind field, which is a battlefield, which is in our own heads. And so God, help us to just get those things focused. And for that and all things, we give you praise. And we also just want to take time to thank you for answering Holly's prayer. I know she's been praying for that for a while. And I thank you that you are faithful. And for that and all things, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Word to the Father, as they say. Okay.
now that I'm really old, I got to say those kids things, right? You know, all those kinds of things. But anyway, Sunday school is rolling along, and continue to register for that. And we are excited that people are connected to Sunday school, so you can begin that tomorrow. Also, nursery and youth group. Today, youth group is canceled. Jen is sick today, so that there will be no Sunday, no youth group afterwards. Two other things that we grouped together. We had with Stephen Ministry, and I believe we're winding down. Creese Share, is that correct? It's winding down. But I know there'll be several other things that that always come up. But our Stephen ministers are always available. So if you're facing any kind of crisis or just need somebody to talk to or go through life with a little bit, go ahead and contact our Stephen ministers. Parish Foundation today, and I think we're good. I hope we're good. So there are 70 dinner bags we did. And you guys are awesome and always getting that together. And I know that they're to be over at the Family Education Center in Hollingsworth at between 4 and 4:15. Elkton Community Kitchen will begin serving at Elkton Community Kitchen on May the 7th. And before we know it, May will be here. Wow, doesn't that sound like something? May, and volunteers are needed to distribute bag lunches from 10:30 to 1 p.m. and to make some bagged lunches. So where's Bill? I saw Bill. Bill's right there. So if you have any questions, you can contact Bill Wiggum, or you can also register through our Haven's website at one of those Bit.ly sites. And thank you to Haven's Helping Hands. Through the March Missions effort, we were able to collect $2,200 to support the mystery of Miriam's Table. And the DRC, happy? There we go. And that is particularly going to go ahead and help with that, the distribution of a farm, kind of a pharmacy on there, medical dispensary. So we're excited about that. And we delivered large Easter boxes to the residents of 6 nursing homes and rehab centers in our community. So thank you all for continually being generous and giving in amazing ways. So we are very, very excited about those things and continue to do those. And I just think it's really cool as I look back over the year that we really have not taken a step back at all in serving God, even in this social distancing world. And that's pretty awesome. So you guys should really be proud of yourselves and thankful. I'm thankful to you and to God for continually doing those things. I mean, I was thinking, we did Thanksgiving dinners, right, Donna, when nobody else was, correct? Operation Christmas Child. I mean, we did all these things and continued to keep doing it and still will, and that's awesome. And I don't think there was a month Paris Foundation that we didn't either. So that is amazing. You need to be really, really proud of serving God in those areas, okay? All right, so you ready? Ready for me to mess with your minds again today? Oh, sorry. I forgot one other announcement. I skipped over it. Compassion Sunday. This is Compassion Sunday, and we want to show this. What? Next week's Compassion Sunday. But you say, what is Compassion Sunday? So we're going to show you this, and then we'll get rolling. So here we go.
In some ways, time has gone quickly these last few months, and in other ways, it has gone slowly. The virus has not just impacted those that have contracted the virus.
While spreading debilitating sickness and claiming countless lives, the virus is also creating widespread economic impact.
Unfortunately, people here are losing their jobs.
No means to provide for the needs of their families.
One area of concern is hunger.
Imagine what happens when families who earn their food daily can no longer leave their homes to work or plant crops for next season's harvest. The poor are simply unable to feed their families.
According to the United Nations, hunger related to the virus has led to the death of 10,000 children per month.
And an additional 550,000 children are suffering from malnutrition so severe it can cause permanent physical and mental damage.
A number of people facing acute food insecurity will nearly double this year. As always, the poor will be most vulnerable to these consequences. But because of the support of our wonderful frontline church partners, we know the people we serve will not face these difficult circumstances alone.
All right, so this is for Compassion International, for Compassion, and next Sunday is we're going to support with Compassion Sunday, and we're taking a special offering to help support that. Also, next week, the 24th, our Havens Home Repair, they are getting together to assist in building and installing a handicap ramp for a person in our community and in our area. And if you have information, Dave's there. But also, if you would like to help out, they're going to meet at Northeast Middle School. Some of you were around long enough to remember when that was church. But at 8 a.m., and they're going to help right in the area to go ahead and build that ramp. And so if you would love to contribute, help, be a gopher, whatever, I know you're in good hands with Dave and Keith and the gang, and they'll help, and you can have a sense of accomplishment in actually helping someone in the area. And I always felt missions has a great great passion where you not only do we take care of just world, but world, country, and locally, and that gives us an opportunity to reach so many people. So again, thank you all for continued support, and the needs are great, and you guys keep meeting so many of them. All right, now everybody ready for me to mess with your mind now? See, I messed with your mind then because you thought the announcements were over, but they weren't. I can segue into anything. I really can. Last week, we opened this series called Mind Field. There is your bulletin. If you want to go ahead and get that, you can take out your smartphone or the phone that makes you us dumber. And go ahead and you can get that digitally if you'd like to by just holding up your camera and then it'll open up something. But we are talking about the war for your mind. And I want to start with one of the most important scriptures from God's word on this subject, and it's from the Apostle Paul. Now, we have a couple other scriptures. Go ahead. I believe we have our main one. Here's our one from our kind of theme. For though we live in a world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Remember, I gave you a picture of a stronghold last week. There it is. It's kind of a military thing where they were put inside and you would put the most important prisoners and the most important people there and defend them. So we have that. And let's look at how it continues on here if we can. We can also see that it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient for Christ. Now, that sounds easier than it is. Am I right? And so we're going to work through some of this. So I believe one of the most important scriptures, and we're going to be here today in a lot of this, is from Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul writes this, and he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. The term is like metamorphosis. And how do we do that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in other words, do not think like the world thinks. Don't act as the world acts. Do not behave as the world behaves, but be renewed, be changed. And how are we transformed? By the renewing of our minds. By the renewing of our minds. And so we're talking about winning this war for your mind. Has anybody ever made a really dumb, irrational decisions? From the laughter, I'd say yes, you or either someone you know did that. Like when I was 14, I was hanging out with some of my friends. Mom and Dad were away from the weekend. Joe was gone, and I decided to, I was 14, I decided to leave a note and say, hey, went to Baltimore for the weekend. Any parents think that's a good idea? I thought it was really intelligent at 14. I left a note. I'd never forget calling home. It was like a Memorial Day weekend. I remember calling home, and because back then you did not have cell phones. So they had no clue where I was, and I remember calling home, and Dad says, hey, how you doing? And Dale was with George. A friend of ours. And I remember calling home, and Dad goes, he answers the phone, and I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, hey, you having fun? I said, yeah. He said, good, because when you get home, you're dead. And I thought, oh, okay. You know, that kind of ruined the rest of the weekend. I remember that was the longest hour drive from Baltimore to home, and you're getting closer, and you come across that bridge. You're like, oh, it was nice knowing myself, you know, that kind of thing. But some of those. Anybody ever just like, you've been in a discussion, and one of you says something to your spouse, and they kind of go absolutely nuts? Anybody? Okay? All right. I mean, I've done that. Melissa can tell you. I say something, and I have this saying that when I hear something, I hear it differently. And so that's at least that's what I'm sticking to right now. But I will, and then she'll just say something really, really normal and like, hey, did you do this? And I'll hear, you're the dumbest person in the world. What's wrong with you? And I'll just lose my mind. Anybody? Help me out. I'm alone up here. All right? But you'll do that, and before you know it, something that is just like, hey, did you take out the garbage today? Like, or did you drop that in the mail? It ends up in one of the biggest knockdown, drag-out fights you've ever had. And you're like, how in the world did we get here? And so there's a lot of things that we've done that are irrational, and you wonder, why in the world am I doing this? Like, do you ever wake up on days and you hate the world? And if you hate every planet, too, because you're just there. And this just tends to happen time and time again. And for some stupid reason, our brains kind of misfire, and we end up becoming self-destructive. We end up being very, very dumb and do very, very dumb things. And so, here's just some example of some things, if any of you have ever done this. Maybe you want to be nice to your spouse, and you're trying to make up, and the next thing you know, you're yelling, like I said. Or maybe you want to save money, and then the next thing you do, you're ripping up thousands of dollars on Amazon. Or you want to trust God with something, and instead you're worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying and taking it back and taking it back. And it makes me wonder some of the question, why is it that that one thing we want to decide, we decide we want to do, often we end up doing completely different? Like you think, hey, I'm going to do this, and you do the exact opposite. So in other words, why do we behave so irrationally so much of the time? So I'm going to try to answer that day with a little story. One is, anybody ever put in a ceiling fan? Isn't that an idea of hell, the way they put those things together? I've put together a lot of different ceiling fans over the years. And one thing I've learned about putting in ceiling fans, there's something in the ceiling fan community that says, however you did it before, the next one is going to be completely different, right? And I remember I was replacing ceiling fans, and I put them in, I'm plugging the stuff in, and, you know, before you would get just the ceiling fans that had the fan, and then you got the one with the light, and then you can have the one with the light or not the light or whatever. And I remember one time, like, I put those little wires and put them all together, and then when I would turn on the light started spinning. Anybody ever done that before? It did. It was like I was getting ready to make a rave in there or something, you know. But that would start spinning. And then there's been another time where I hooked them up, and I pull the chain for the lights, and the fan starts going. Anybody done that? Okay, you do those things. So just hold that in mind. And then I started thinking about back in the day, and by the day, I mean the coolest day, the 80s. All right, say what you want, but the 80s was cool. All right. Come on, parachute pants. All right. Mullets. Well, don't use mullets. Okay, but anyway, back in the day, when I first started driving and I had my yellow Chevette, my yellow Vette, as I tried to hit on girls before they got out in the parking lot. But I remember in there, that was a 1980 Chevette. And just to let you know, I don't know whether it was Chevette or whether it was my dad just being cheap. It didn't have the top hi-fi stereo. It had the one, I think, that you push the buttons and it would skip. You remember that? Where it was, you could put several in and it would skip up the dial. And some of you are like, what is he talking about? What is a dial? Just Google it. And so I remember I had that. So when I got to drive this car, I could certainly not have that. So I got into my yellow Chevette with racing stripes. And I started driving on 95 into Wilmington off of 202 and went to Sound Studio. Oh, yeah, some of you know where I'm talking about now. Yeah, now. Went to Sound Studio and checked out and bought an Alpine detachable phase stereo. Yeah, that was cool. With a cassette player. Don't be hating. All right? But not only that, I bought myself an amplifier and some Pioneer speakers. Oh, you are all jealous now, aren't you? And I was like, I never hooked up anything like that in my life. But I'm like, hey, we're going to go ahead and do this. right? So I remember I was there. I'm hooking up stuff, and I'm looking, and I turn on. I remember when I first put it on, I was like, okay, what's going on? And I remember when I turn it on, like my lights would go. Ooh. You remember that? I'm like, Andy's smiling because he probably remembers doing this kind of stuff. But anybody ever hook up a stereo for yourself? Okay, and they would give you a little face because you had to cut out more and all. I see some people like, yeah, some of you guys have it so easy. But it's Bluetooth. Why don't you use somebody right now saying, why don't you use Bluetooth? I don't know what Bluetooth would have been. You painted your tooth blue. That's all it was. But you know, you had to put that in, and I was like, what the heck is going on? And so, you know, every time at night, you had the stereo on and be like, you couldn't see. And so you had to kind of turn off the stereo because I did it wrong. What I did, I hooked it into my lights. And so the battery in those things was only so much, but like, you know. And so it's a choice, see, to drive, or, I don't know, turn on the radio. And sometimes you just needed the radio on, you know, in the middle of the night. But what happened here is, and then somebody actually fixed it for me, and they made it really cool, but you had to be cool. They took it, and you guys remember the cigarette lighters? Right behind it, that was a live wire. And you could put it in there, and the radio was always on. But don't leave it on, or what would happen? Your battery would drain. But anyway, I could then see and listen to the radio. But the reason why the fans were messed up, and the reason why my lights were like real dim back then, was because I had some wires crossed. And I had wires crossed in this different way. So why is it? And sometimes, even in the middle of the night, you need some poison. Every rose has its thorn, you know what I mean? Or some Tears for Fears or the Outfield, whatever. But why do we behave so irrationally at times? Because I believe that we have our wires crossed in many ways in the way we think. And so our minds do have the wires crossed. And last week we were talking about how, when we think about certain things, we were talking about that every time we think, we create neural pathways. That's how our brain works. And we create neural pathways. And as I was saying, the more you go through a pathway, the more you walk on the grass of something. Like I gave the illustration that if there's a sidewalk and you want to cut across, if people keep doing that, you have a path that's worn through there. And if you decide to stop walking through that path, time and time again, it will eventually grow back. But one of the things that I believe is we are walking on paths of wrong pathways, and what we find out is just as it's easier to walk on that path after we keep doing it so often, that's the same way it is in our brain. We walk down a pathway in our brain, it's easier to have that thought again. It's easier to think it again. It's easier to believe it again. There's less resistance that happens there. So every time we think, we create a new pattern of thought, and it gets easier. So if we have a wrong pattern of thought, then it's going to be an easier path to go to. So when we have a situation in life and we say, hey, we say, are you capable of doing this? If we've gone down the pathway of, yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, then we can continue to go through that area. But if we go down through a pathway that we've always had, that you're dumb, you're stupid, you're never going to matter anything, you're always going to fail, you're going to do that, then that's the pathway we're going to go down. And so what we have our wires crossed here that we should be going down the path as Christians of, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And not down this path, but often our wires are crossed. And we wonder why we're spinning around like those lights were, or we can't see where God wants us in life and what life has because our lights are so dim. And this is where we end up. And so, for instance, this happens at birth, really. Even babies and little kids. It's like if a baby smiles and mom smiles back, baby says, goo goo gaga, this is good, I will smile. If the baby decides to cry, what usually happens? You guys don't know? Mom might come in, dad might come in, say, okay. And they say, well, wait a second. Maybe I should continue this thing. We learn these things from an early age. So the baby says, smiling's good. I can do this thing. If a child touches something hot and feels pain, that creates a pathway. Don't do that again. Hot stove is bad. A little kid wants something and says, I want a cookie! Cookie. I don't know if you gave birth to Cookie Monster, but you know, cookie. And they're screaming that, and guess what? Mom or dad just says, shut up, here's a cookie. What do you think's going to happen the next time they want a cookie? Cookie! And they say, no, shh, be quiet. No, you're not. Cookie! You know, don't give me a cookie. Okay? So that's what we do. We learn time and time again. So here's what happens. Our brain is creating these neural pathways. And more and more and more we think about it, the easier it comes to go down that road. The more dominant that thought becomes, we do have some good news, though. The good news is if we think a truth, that will become the dominant thought. But the bad news is if we believe the lies, then that will become the dominant in our thought. So what I believe is one of the reasons why we behave so irrationally is because we have our wires crossed. And so a quick review from last week, which I've been doing some of that. But what do we know about our mind? Well, our mind is a battlefield. Excuse me. And most of life battles are won and lost in the mind. We already read the scripture where we do not live in this world. We do not wage war as this world does. The weapons we fight are with weapons, not with weapons of this world, but divine powers to demolish strongholds. And we talked about how a stronghold is a wrong pattern of thinking. And basically, it's, for this week's sake, a place where we have our wires crossed. And so why does every thought matter? Here we go. This is one of the big thoughts in the whole thing. It matters because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. When you're hungry and your mind's telling you you're hungry, what do you end up doing? Eating. You're thirsty and you just got a drink. What do you say? Boom, I got to get something to drink. So you continue. Your life follows your thoughts, your strongest thoughts. And so what comes into your mind tends to come out in your life, and you can't have a positive life with a negative mind when your wires are crossed. I can't have the lights and the stereo working at the same time because the wires are crossed. I can't have the fan and the light doing like it should because the wires are crossed. And if you don't control how you think, we will never be able to control the things that we do. So there's two things I want to do today. Number one, I'm going to create some tools. We talked a little bit about that. And what we're going to do is we're going to set up for up and coming weeks to build on these tools. One week, we're actually going to talk about anxiety. And we're going to talk about that. So today, it's how you train your mind, or how can we get the ground back? Like the pathway has been, you say, Jack, I can't. I've been going down this pathway forever. We're going to talk about how we get that pathway back. I went golfing yesterday. And I didn't do horrible, but I didn't do great. But anyway, one of the things was, there's a lot of times when you hit, there's a divot. And you can see where people have hit and have not replaced the divots. And in every cart, they have this little stuff with some seed and stuff. You shake on there, you put it on there. And the hope is that takes the ground back and it's beautiful. If nobody ever did that, then guess what would happen? The whole course would look horrific. The other thing is, if I kept hitting the same place and kept hitting the same hole, I would eventually dig a hole for myself. And that's one of the things that many of us have dug a hole for ourselves in our minds, and therefore, if we dug that hole in our thinking, then we also do in our actions. So that's what we're going to do. And many of us have never really thought about training our minds. How many of you ever thought about training a dog? I'm not going to say a cat because you can't train them things. But how many have ever thought about training your body? Okay. So it's a good comparison, training your body with your mind. So think about, one of the things I often thought about years before was about training my body. Like when I was younger, it was all about going into the weight room, doing a couple weight sets, maybe a little bit of running, some stuff like that. But, you're active, you're doing sports, you're doing those kind of things. That's fine. As long as you put that a little bit of that in, you're good. I thought it was run, cardio, jump, pull-ups, sit-ups, dumbbells, kettlebells, squats, all those kind of things, bench press, right? Right, that's what it all was in high, when we were in high school, bench press. I can bench more than you. Benches and squats, that's the thing you do. And you're like, okay, we're good for the day. Let's go out and let's go have some McDonald's. I'm serious. And for years, I could do that when I was younger. I could eat. How many remember the good old days when you could eat absolutely everything and you were moving around, you did not gain a pound? And it was just awesome. And you went there. But what I realized is, and what I discovered is, in order to train my body, I cannot eat everything I want to all the time. It's not only about what I do with my body out here, it's what I put into my body that brings out the results. And so if I eat cake, ice cream, cheesesteaks, pizza. Anybody got anything else? Sound good? What? Okay, there we go. But if we eat that stuff all the time, no matter, even if I'm in the gym so often or for amount of time, I am going to not train my body the way I want to. Because often what we find out is it is more about what I put in than what I'm doing on the outside. But both of those together, if I put the right things in and I realize I'm putting the right things in so I get the right stuff out, it's the same thing with my mind. If I start putting the right things in my mind, then I can also output as well the same way. And so what I want to look at, as we said in this series, we're looking at the progression of the Apostle Paul. And so from the start of his ministry till the end, he was constantly working on renewing his mind. And we're going to look at this verse from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And the context is that the Apostle Paul is writing from a Roman prison. And he was kind of locked up on house arrest. Now, it's not like it is now, but it was actually a very terrifying place to be. Because you were locked up in house arrest, and the reason why you were there, and you had somebody chained to you, connected to you 24/7, the reason why it was bad, because you were pretty much waiting execution. And this is where he is at this point, and here's what he writes. He says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing." Now notice what he did not say. He did not say, "God, here's the final thing. God let me down." When he could have thought that. Notice he didn't say, "I can't go on with my life like this." He also did not say, "Things can't get any worse than this." That was not the one thing that he said. Look at what he says. There, here's this one thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, does that sound like somebody who's facing death row? Does that sound like somebody who his life got more difficult after he started serving Jesus? Sounds to me like somebody who is excited about what's ahead of him. Sounds like somebody who, while other people are there probably going, "Oh, what am I going to do?" that he's saying, "Hey, one thing, I'm just fixing my eyes on what is true, and that is in Christ." And so he unpacks this even more and more. And these things are important to go ahead and look at. So as we're looking at these, what do we need to do? Put our thoughts on things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Does that seem like your daily life or what we think about? Okay. All right. So you said, "I can't turn on the news. I can't turn on TV. We have to balance life," is what I'm saying. We have to put some really good stuff in. He did not say, "Fix your thoughts on the worst case scenario, on what you hate, on what you're afraid of, on the loss that you have, on what could go wrong." He did say, "Fix your mind on what is good and things excellent and worthy of praise." I really like this translation in King James for this section. And let's bring it up here because it's the same translation, but it says, "If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, we meditate on these things." And right now, some of you just said, wait a second. What meditate? Isn't that some kind of like new age, spooky, become one with the universe, sit around with your arms and legs crossed and go, "Om, om, om," right? That can be a form of meditation in Eastern religion. But there's another form of meditation that I believe that is exactly what he's talking about here. And this definition is to engage in mental exercise to focus one's thoughts. It's about focusing in your thoughts. It's about taking them from here and focusing in on things. How many of you feel like your mind races all over the place? Anybody? Okay. I mean, I do. I do as well, constantly. And so the scripture here is telling us to focus. And it has many examples of godly people meditating or focusing on things that are true, lovely, admirable, and praiseworthy and excellent. Like, for instance, in Psalm 119:15, look what it says here. It says, "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways." In Psalm 143, here's what it says here. It says, "I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done." How many times have you just ever just stopped life and just wherever you are? Like, a lot of times, it's easy for us to, like, if we're at a sunrise or in the mountains and overlooking nature to go, wow, that's amazing what God's done. How many of you sitting in front of your computer desk with lots of work just stop and say, wow, you are amazing, God? How many just do that? And just stop and say, wow, I just got to think about, wow, God, you, in the midst of everything, you just really are awesome. How many think about those things? God, I'm thankful that I still have a job that I can go ahead and celebrate. I'm thankful that I have a family that loves me and I love them. I'm thankful to have friends. And God, you're just amazing. And I'm thinking of that song Indescribable right now in my head. But, I mean, it's just there. How many times do we do that? You see, Eastern meditation, there's a different focus. And what we learn there is that you are to empty your mind and try to focus on nothing to get in a state of calm. In Christian meditation, it's not emptying your mind. It is opening up and letting God fill your mind with his truth about who you are and about who he is. And if you put those things in, those pathways are going to be completely different time and time again. Over the past few years, I mean, I've shared with you, with many of you, how I've been working with a counselor and been on this journey to learn to kind of focus my mind. With someone who is ADHD and all over the place and has all kinds of other things, it's not that I can't focus, it's that I focus on a billion different things at a billion different times, and if I'm bored, I'm not focusing on, and you're the one who's giving me what I'm bored about, I'm not focusing on that. I'm just letting you know. It's difficult. Anybody like you're sitting there and somebody, it's just so boring and you're just miles away? I mean, that's me a lot. And a lot of it isn't just because you're boring. It's just because I'm interested in what's in my head a little bit more. All right? Natalie's shaking her head. Okay, I got some other people. Do you get it? Anybody get this? Okay, are you guys just so in tune? So, I just have had issues with that all the time. I am already in the summer mentally for church. I am already thinking about, I'll be thinking about Christmas. I'll be thinking about these. I am always ahead, or I'll tell you the other thing is I am always in the past. One of the other things is, how many of you think about the past? Like, I will go ahead and I will think about situations that have happened and I will say, wow, I should have done that differently. Or I wish I was in that situation because I would have dealt with it differently. Or here's what would have happened. And I do that and I relive old situations and new situations all the time in my head. And one thing I don't live very often. Anybody know what that is? The present. I spend in the present. And it happens a lot of times because that's just where my mind paths go. Some of that's genetics. Some of it's just the way I've been thinking over the years. So one of the things that I've had to do is to try to get mindful. Anybody heard of this terminology, mindfulness? Being in the moment. And one of those things is, like, and I shared this last week, when I eat, I love to throw food down my mouth and be done and, like, let's move on. Let's go to dessert. I'm at dessert when you're bringing the regular stuff. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. And one of the things that I've been trying to do is eat and put it down. Now, how many of you are really slow eaters? Okay, you would drive me absolutely batty. Because, okay, right, okay, there we go. So you get that. But, like, you know, like, I remember we have friends and we used to go out to eat with them as families, and everybody else would be done. And the lady would just be picking, I'm going, it's got to be cold by now. We're here for an hour later and picking and eating. So, but one of the things that I found is food is really good. Not only for fuel, but to enjoy it. Like, I mean, have you ever just tasted something and been like, ah, oh, this is amazing? I think Danny and I were talking about Shake Shack burgers the other day. Anybody been there? Yeah. Who has never had a Shake Shack burger? Okay, Shake Shack, you can send me free coupons now because I have shared that in church here. It is amazing. And I don't know what they do, but they have the burger and they got the sauce and like this cheese melts with it. And it's like a conglomerate of holiness that just goes to my mouth and I go, oh, thank you, Jesus, for this food. It is awesome. And it's dangerous because I would eat 50 of them. And then you put down a shake with it. And just, the last time I ate one, I took a bite and I was like, ugh. And I'd put it down and just kind of taste it and enjoy it. And really, I want to go, and give me another one. That's how I want to be because that's my pathway that I've gone down for years. pathway. My dad used to make these Western omelet sandwiches. And he would give it to me. And before he got his done, mine was like, he's like, you're done already? I'm like, yeah, it was good. He said, he always said, you just inhale your food. And that's part of the thing. So what I'm saying is, we need to not empty our mind of things, but we need to get it on the right things. And as I'm looking over these years, that's tried to become one of my highest priority. One of the things is I downloaded this app called Headspace, and I just got to listen. And sometimes it's torturous because I do not want to sit still. My brain definitely does not want to sit still. And so, but then there's been times where I've just stopped the world around me and gone ahead and been through this, and then just kind of in my own nature to kind of think about the things of God and who I am in that. And sometimes I've fallen asleep, and it's awesome. And sometimes I've just sat there and I've just felt like, okay. There's a quote that is given by the great theologian, Jackie Chan. And he said in the remake of The Karate Kid. Now, I'm going to say the remake of The Karate Kid should never be said. Because Ralph Macchio, I mean, Cobra Kai, Sweet the Leg, all that kind of stuff. Cobra Kai seasons 1, 2, and 3. Amazing. But hey, let's go. Yeah, there we go. But let's go with it, all right? Jackie Chan said in the remake of the movie, here's what he says. Your focus needs focus. Not Mr. Miyagi, not wax on, wax off, but it's good, all right, for here. And some of us right now need to take that advice, to recognize that our focus needs more focus. Our mind needs to uncross the wires that we've had and been programmed to believe for so long that it's not true. And we need to stop the light spinning in our world in order to get the fans spinning and to get them corrected. We need to fix our minds on the things of God. Why? Because when our mind drifts, and mind drifts very easily, mind usually never drifts to things that are good and noble and true and excellent and praiseworthy. That's not where my mind goes to. If you do, awesome. My mind does not. Mine usually goes to my own insecurities, my own fears, my own worst case scenarios, the lies that Satan tells me to believe about myself, that I'm never going to be good enough, I'm not incapable, I should be ashamed of what I've done and the life I've lived, and how could God ever use you? These are some of the ways my mind will go to. And so what we need to do is to really learn to meditate on the truth, to fill our minds, to engage in a mental exercise on the truth of God, to retrain and focus our minds to the truth of God. And I'm going to give you an assignment, and it's not easy. It's not something like where you believed a lie for 10, 15, 30 years, and poof, right there, whoo, okay, I'm good. Because to get that path worn down, you had to go through it a long, long time. And it'll take a while to grow back, and you got to begin to forge a new path in there. And so it takes a little time to deprogram that truth. To get the wires from that stereo, I had to go ahead and get underneath, unpack, cut this off, put the black tape around it, electrical tape, make sure that's all taken care of. Go ahead, find out where I'm going to put the next one. Where does it go right? How do I connect that in? Make a splice here, wrap that one around, make sure it's there, tape that back up. Go ahead, see if it works. If it doesn't work, then I've got to do something else. And so that takes time. It's easy to say, I'll go without lights. Or it's easy to say, I don't know. Do we really need a fan? It's easy. Because guess what? You got to take all those stupid blades back off that thing to get the dumb thing down to go ahead and work in it. And your back is sore, your shoulders are sore by the time you're holding this and you're screwing something in here. You're with me. It's easier to just leave it that way and deal with it than it is to get to the truth. And so, the assignment, I believe, though, can be a game changer in focusing on what is true. And so I'm going to show you how I've kind of grown a little bit in my own thoughts and how I repeat some truth over and over. And a lot of this I'm starting myself. Okay, you need to know that. A lot of that. I'm not one of those people who say, hey, I got my act all together. Here's what you should do. Be like me. If anything, I'd say you got to figure out where you are in this process and work with you, because I'm dealing with pathways that my mind has given me for years and years and years, and those are hard to unlearn. And so we're going to go ahead, and and the main thing is we're going to trust the Holy Spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit who's helping us. Remember, he will lead our path straight. And that's what we need. So, number one, and we talked a little bit about this last week, but what stronghold is holding you back? Remember last week I said, what is that top stronghold? What is that top mindset that is keeping you hostage? What is it? And we need to, in other words, what I'm asking you is identify where those wires are crossed. Like back in the illustration of the car, I could have said, well, maybe it's a fuse, and I replace the fuse. Or maybe it can't be the windows because I had no power windows. I was the power window. So it couldn't have been that. What else? Oh, maybe it's the heater and maybe air conditioning. I don't know whether I had one or not, but maybe it's that. Maybe there's a short in there. And I can look at every other thing, and I can work on everything, but it's not going to change until I look at the right thing, the reason why the wires are crossed and what it's crossed with. It could just be a lie that you have crossed in your mind. That you struggle with finances and you say you're never going to, and you grew up in a house that had financial issues and you say, I'm never going to be any good with money. And you believe, I'm not getting out of debt. Or the lie you may have said, I've tried for 3 years to overcome this addiction. I'm just never going to be able to overcome it. I am an addict and that's who I'm going to be for the rest of my life. Or maybe I'll never be healthy. People in my family aren't healthy. They've died of, they've had diabetes. They've died of heart disease. They have cancer. And so why bother? I'm just never going to be healthy. So I'm not going to try. Or it could be that I've tried to get close to God. I'm close to God for like 3 seconds. And then my mind drifts and I'm just going to give up on God. Or I've worked so hard to get ahead but I'm never going to have a meaningful job. I'm always going to be, I'm always going to do something stupid that's going to be taken away from me and do something I feel beneath me. Or you may say, I'm not a lovable person. I'm just not a good person. And maybe I'm just going to be alone for the rest of my life and that's fine. And you stay there. What is that dominant stronghold where your mental wires are crossed? And where Satan has trained you to go down that mental pathway time and time again to believe something that's not true about yourself. Not at least not true about what God says about you. Again, we're replacing this with the truth. Now, if you aren't good with money, God has a plan for you and a truth. If you struggle with addiction, God and through the help of many people, you can overcome. Because he says we are overcomers through the blood of the Lamb. You got to believe that and put that in your head. So there's time and time again. If you say I've tried that Bible app thing, I tried it to remind me, and I still don't get there. Just keep on down the path, and God says, "My word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto my path." And so we continue to do that. So that's the first part of your assignment to do that one. I'm taking last week. If you already did that last week, then you're like, "Okay, I'm good. I'm ahead of the class." The next thing is what truth. What spiritual truth from God will demolish that lie? In order to do that, we have to go to God's word. It is powerful enough to bring transform. If we are going to have the transformation of our mind, we have to go to the truth that transforms us, and that is the word of God. It is Jesus. And so here's the assignment. I want you to write out some truth and be specific. Whatever it is that demolishes that stronghold in your life. Don't just write a sentence. Think about it. Okay? Got your stronghold? Think about it. And then we live in a time where you can just pull up Google. Or you can go back in the concordance in your Bible. It's in the back. You can look about a topic. You can find it. You can have a billion different things. You can type in right now, what does God say about, what does the Bible say about, boom. And you can have more things than you need. I used to give people, when they would get married, I would give them a photocopied sheet of, here's wedding scriptures. Look at them. Now I say, Google wedding scriptures. Why? Because they have more than that sheet could ever hold. And so we have the ability, right now, you could go ahead, pull out your phone, type in, and look at it, and have a billion things, and you can read the truths of God about that stronghold. And I guarantee you, any stronghold that you have, it will never say in the scripture, sorry, God's helpless to help you. None of them. And that's encouraging, and that's what we should be encouraged about. So think about it. Meditate it. So when you hear those words, think about, okay, this is what I've been, because you know, I know I didn't finish the sentence, but that's ADHD. Go with it. The reason why it's so important to meditate on the Word of God It's because we've all been meditating on the lies for so long. So if you're caught up in this whole meditation thing, get over it. You've already been doing it. You've just been meditating about the wrong things. And so when we're just replacing what we've already done with something that's good and true. And so that's why we end up here time and time again. Meditate on God's word and truth. Don't go looking for everything. Just look for that stronghold in your life and find out what God's word says about it. And then here's homework. Teachers love when you have homework, right, teachers? Write a statement that creates passion toward the truth of God to start thinking about it. Confess it until God starts to renew your mind. Because what's going to happen is you're going to read it, you're going to think about it, you're going to meditate it, you're going to start down the path and you say, this is a little bit harder because something's going to come up, and then you're going to want to go back down that old path. But keep doing it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do these couple things. Ready? I want you to say this with me. I want you to write it. You got it up there? There we go. Write it, think it, confess it, and believe it. We got that up there, Melinda? We need to write it. Melinda is meditating back there on what, right, Melinda? I saw her. She's got her head down. She's writing something, okay? So we want you to write it, think it, confess it, and believe it, okay? Everybody, what's the first thing? We're going to write it. We're going to think it. We are going to confess it, and we are going to believe it. Write it, think it, confess it, believe it. There we go. See? I was thinking about something else that wasn't there. So we are going to, everybody, write it, think it, confess it, believe it. Okay, so you got that. It may take time to do that. It may take time. Why? Because we are creating new neural pathways. God is renewing our mind and truth. So here's what are some examples of what it may look like. You might be struggling to know God's will in your life. So your statement may be, my life belongs to God. Daily I seek him. And daily he directs my steps. I know his voice, and he leads me in his perfect will. You are going to write it, think it, confess it, and believe it. Or you may be lacking in confidence. So every time you come in to a place, you feel insecure, you feel inadequate, you feel like you're not enough. And your statement may be this: my confidence is in Christ and Christ alone. Because his spirit lives within me, I can do everything he calls me to do. Write it, think it, confess it, until you believe it. You might have a struggle with fighting destructive thoughts, and you're sick and tired of being held hostage to the images and the shameful ideas that go on. You are going to let God renew your mind when he tells you that he can set you free. Your statement may be this: I am not a slave to destruction and to the thoughts of destructiveness in my head, because God has cleansed my mind. I will honor him with my whole life and every thought. My God is faithful. Even if I find myself distracted, he will always give me a way out. We need to write it, think it, confess it until we believe it. And you might find comfort in food, and you might not want to do this anymore. You get stressed, you just eat, eat, eat. And you say to yourself, when I'm stressed, I am not going to turn to food. I'm going to turn to God. I'm going to come to Jesus because he is what I need. And I'm going to find strength and comfort in him. Your battle might be worry all the time, and you're consumed by it. You're worried by stuff that hasn't happened or may never happen, but you just worry all the time. And your statement may be this: because of Christ, I am not anxious about anything. I will cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me. And I will have the peace of God that passes all understanding, guarding my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. See the different pathway? And it's hard. It's difficult. So what are you going to do? We need to identify it. What is the stronghold that has your wires crossed? What is the spiritual truth? That's the second thing that will set you free. And here's what we're going to do. Here we go again. We are going to write it, think it, confess it until we believe it. And that's what we're going to do. So you're creating new neural pathways. And God is renewing your mind. Isn't that awesome? I just get excited about the fact that what was written years ago about being transformed and taking every thought captive, that it's not just this passive thing, but science actually backs up what the Word of God says here. So how does this play out in my life, in places where I've crossed the wire for years? I've said this before, so bear with me. I just want to bring it to you and show you how I'm beginning to work on this. I have always battled with thoughts of inadequacy, meaning no matter what I do, I've never felt that I'm good enough. It haunts me because as a pastor, I can never get everything done. I can never do everything for everybody. I can't be everywhere at the same time. I can't do everything for everyone. So I'm always feeling like I'm going to let somebody down. And when I bring my very best to the church, then guess what happens? I let my family down because I can't be there for them. And when I bring my best to the school, then maybe the family gets put in the back view. And then if I give everything to my family, then I can't give it at school, then I can't give it at church. You see, and this is how my mind works. And so it's a stronghold that continually goes ahead and fills me with ongoing guilt and shame, because those pathways always lead to a worse pathway. And you get further in the woods if you keep going of your mind. And so it's a stronghold. And I've lived life, I've lived life caring more about what people think than what Jesus thinks. And even though I stand up here and I say that, there's times where I have dealt with that myself. And so I don't like to admit that, but I'm kind of through with kind of church just saying, here it is, go live it. I'm going to share with you what I'm dealing with, because we're all in this boat together. And so I hope that you get some, at least a good story from it, you know. So there's several times, and I got to tell you, when I'm here, this is where I really feel connected to God. I got to tell you, when I'm in this place, I feel that I just feel His presence. I feel him working in spite of me. There's a lot of times I feel like there's times where I've had conversations and I'm speaking, but I'm having a totally different conversation, but God is working in and through me. And that's kind of good to know, that even no matter what my strongholds are dealing with, God is doing something that's amazing. But there are times where right after we sing the last song and I'm done here, that with what I've started and felt like I needed to do, that I just feel this overwhelming sense of insecurity and failure. Right after, it could be like a wow, and people are like, that was great. And I'm like, yeah, thank you very much. God's good. And I'm like, sure, but I'm not me. Right away. And it can happen time and time again. And my priorities get out of whack, and that when I end up, I know what to do. I'll throw myself more into work, and that'll make me feel more valuable. And I'll keep myself even more busy. But then I neglect and take for granted the people that are around me. Sometimes then I just feel incredibly discouraged, thinking I don't even know if I can come up with another message this week. I mean, my gosh, 25 years? So, did I preach that before? Yeah. You know, it's like coming up with a book report on the same topic every week. and so you do that. It's the Bible, right? So how can I creatively express something in an interesting way and engage people and transform their lives? And the battle within me is constantly of inadequacy. Okay, that's time and time again. And so my plan has been developing some declarations in order to have truth that renews this mind. And so here's one that I've kind of put together, and I figured I'd share it with you. And they're not suggestions, they're declarations. So I declare Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve and glorify Him. I love my wife, children, and larger family, and will lay down my life for them. My children will love and serve God and serve Him with their whole hearts. God has equipped them to do more in the kingdom than they ever thought was possible. I love people, and I believe the best about others. Those who God has placed in my life as dear friends, I will love and encourage with everything that I am, embracing them as I would my family. I am passionate about people, knowing that Jesus has an incredible plan for their lives. God is stronger in me than the wrong desires in me. Because of Christ, my family is stronger, my body is stronger, my faith is deeper, and my focus is sharper. I am creative, I am innovative, I am driven, I am focused and blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I love people and to empower their God-given gifts, and this is not something I do, this is who I am. I bring my best and then some, and I declare this. And it's not only that what happens after I bring my best, it's not only bringing my best, but what happens after that, that I declare this, and I believe that this world will be different and better because I serve Jesus today. That's a new pathway. Write it, think it, confess it until you believe it. And so you may need a declaration like, you are strong and mighty and you have the same power of Christ that raised Christ from the dead inside of you, and you are a weapon of righteousness in a world of darkness. You are not a hostage to unhealthy thoughts. The weapons you fight with are not weapons in this world. You have divine power to demolish strongholds. You have the mind of Christ directing your thoughts. You have the word of God guiding your steps. The Lord is our helper, and you will not be afraid. You are not a slave to your habits. You are not a prisoner to addiction. You have been rescued by the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God. And this one that somebody needs to hear today, nothing can separate you from God's love. Not death, not demons, not your present, not your past. No power on earth will ever be able to separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. At the word of God, everything Satan said to Jesus when he was being tempted fell by the wayside because he can't deal with truth. And so he lies and lies again. So we are going to write it, think it, confess it until we believe it. And why does this matter? Because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So we need to take back the ground and take back the mind that God has given us to serve him and love him with and believe in his truth. And we need to meditate on the truth of God and fix our minds on what is true, what is admirable, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy. And those are the things we need to think about and meditate on day and day and every night. So what are you going to do? You're going to identify whatever mental stronghold, whatever wires you have crossed, and the truth, as Jesus said, will set you free as you write it, think it, confess it until you believe it. So as followers of Jesus, what will we not do? We will not be conformed anymore to the patterns of this world. But we will be transformed, not by trying harder, not by being smarter, not by more personal effort, but by the renewing of our minds. And the greatest power to overcome this is the truth of Jesus. And Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Let's get up. Yep, free indeed, free indeed. Jesus, as we come to in your presence for this last moment together in worship, I just get the feeling that many of us are, there's some strong strongholds in our lives. There's some powerful ones. There's some that that we're struggling with to unbelieve, because we have believed the lie from the enemy, and lies, and it may have come from a person. It may have come from people that we love and care about. But wherever it came from, the bottom line is, it's a lie from the pit of hell. We need to take your word upon our lives. We need to confess your word is greater. That your love is stronger. That we have been given power through your word and through your love to demolish these strongholds. So God, right now, I just ask that we don't only just hear a sermon, we leave here and we go, okay, that was nice. But God, that we go ahead and that we write it. We find out what our stronghold is, that one that has already been knocking on our door today. We think about it and meditate on it a little bit. And then we go ahead to your word and we search and we say, okay, let's see what God's word has to say about it. And then after we've meditated on that for a while, God, that we will go ahead and begin to write this declaration statement of freedom. This declaration of dependence on you and your word and your truth that is the power to demolish strongholds. And we're just gonna start with one, the big one. And then we'll write it, we'll think it, we'll confess it, and we'll keep doing those three until we believe it. As the old pathways begin to crowd up with just the weeds once again, and we never go down those paths again, we thank you for the new areas that you've called us to and the calling that you have on our lives. And so, Father, today, there's some people here today feeling like the biggest stronghold, that their life has been a complete failure and that there's no way they can have a God who loves them. Let them hear the truth of your word, that God so loved you that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That you hear the words from Jesus that says, I have ever loved you with an everlasting love. That greater love has no one than this. Then he lays down his life for his friends, and you are my friends. God, there, you are beginning to make some cracks in the strongholds of people's lives. And I pray that they open their hearts and they see, that they just say, okay, all right, I'm going to put your word to trust that if you believe in your heart and your mind and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that God, you will make a way. So that's what we're here to do right now. In Jesus' mighty name, let us worship him. And Holy Spirit, come and speak and tear down walls and strongholds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us experience the glory of your Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. That's one of our favorites, isn't it? Everybody loves that one. That's good. Okay, so next week, next week we're going to talk about conquering those thoughts. So we're going to go back to that. And the last week, just so you know, is we're going to talk about calming the anxious mind. So that's last week. So that's where we're headed. And everybody have an awesome week. And remember, what are you going to do? There you go. All right. Have a good week. God bless.
Everybody sing with me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Jack. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Yeah. I made it.